My name is Chris Boyer. I'm an assistant professor at the University of Tennessee. I work in the Agricultural and Resource Economics Department. Today I'm going to be talking to you about results from a cotton precision farming survey from 14 southern states. I'm going to go ahead and kind of apologize. There's going to be a little overlap from what Christian just talked about. But I am a member of the Economics of Precision Farming Working Group, and this makes up six universities and Cotton Inc. I didn't list everyone's name. It's in the program. I'd probably need another slide if I listed everybody's name on this paper. But every university here has at least one faculty member. And then Cotton Inc.'s been, and Jeannie's been great to provide us support for this project. Before we get into the details and the results and summary statistics of the survey, I think it's important for us to briefly discuss a definition of precision farming. I think this will allow us to kind of be on the same page, thinking about it in the same framework. Precision farming is a very hard word to define precisely. Over the years, as the technology has evolved, so has the definition. So if you look back in research papers, in journal articles in the 90s, they defined precision farm as gathering information about within full variability. Now there's things like location that are gathered, information that's gathered about location. So it's really a hard word to define. And really the best way to define it because of this is to do it very broadly. So the definition I put up here is: you use a wide variety of technologies to gather information about a field and use that information to manage the inputs. Now, a challenge that we had that the gentleman in the red shirt pointed out, in this survey we were able to gather information about the people that were using these technologies to gather information. But were they actually using that information to make management inputs? That's hard to know. Some of them probably are, but there's probably a good chunk of individuals that have mounds of information that they don't really use to make any management inputs, decisions. But for this presentation and for this survey, we defined a precision farming or precision ag adopter as someone that used GPS guidance and information gathering technology, which I'll show specifically here in a little bit, a variable rate input management, or automatic section control for a planter or a sprayer. So that's what we used. So what I'm going to talk about is just the summary statistics from this survey. And this, like I said, it's going to be a little overlap from what Christian just talked about. But we did a mail survey for the 14 states. We'll talk about that in a second. But this is the fourth survey in a series of surveys dating back to 2001. There was another one in 2005 and 2009. This has kind of given us a good data set now to look at trends of adoption over these years. And we've seen growth in adoption. So we've got a really good data set here. And I'm just talking about the 2013 survey today. And then Cotton Inc. has been a great partner, and Jeannie's been great to work with, providing us support for this research. A mailing list from the 2011 marketing year was provided to us. We went through this list and looked for duplicate names, deleted those individuals. The list also included several experiment stations. We deleted them. We also asked producers if they had not grown cotton since 2008, to not complete the survey and to mail it back. That way we were ensured to have respondents that had grown cotton at some point since 2008. And that gave us a total of 13,162 observations. That was our complete contact list. And as Christian pointed out, we followed Dillman's method. That's just a time-tested method in doing these surveys. And it involves cover letter and postcard and things like that, just to ensure a good response rate. So this is a pretty busy figure here, But the on the bottom, you can see the 14 states that were included in the survey. We have Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas, and Virginia. I'm not going to talk about adoption by these individual states. I'm more so talking about the 14 states combined. There's posters behind you for some of these states that break down this information a little more detailed. But we had a total of 1,811 people that responded to the survey. That gave us a response rate of 13.76%. And if you see on this graph, a response rate over on this side, in this gray bar indicates the response rates by state. Now we feel like a 13, maybe I'm speaking for myself here, but 13.76% for a survey, response rate for a survey like this, I think that's something to be proud of. It's not bad. You can always do better, but we feel like we got a pretty good sample. We compared some average acre size, age, to some 2007 census data, and it's fairly comparable. So it was a good sample. Highest response rate we saw, 21% Tennessee, lowest Arkansas, 7%. Now if you look on the right, you see precision farming adoption. And the orange bar indicates the percentage of farmers that have adopted some component of precision farming. Now, if you look at it, overall, 73% of all farmers have adopted some component. The components being GPS guidance, variable rate input management, these information gathering technologies, and then automatic section control for planters and sprayers. 73% is pretty high relative to the last surveys. And again, we know that these are people that are using these or they have this information. Now, are they actually using it to make input decisions? We can't really follow up on that too well. But I think one reason we see the increase from the 2009 survey of adopters is on this survey we included things like automatic section control. And we saw that there were pretty good people that have adopted that. And that could explain some of the bump in the adoption rates. By state, Alabama had the lowest at 62%. Missouri was really high at 92%. Let's look at these a little more closely. So from the 1,811 observations of people that replied to the survey, 27% indicated that they had automatic section control for their sprayer. 13 had it for their planter. 66% were using GPS guidance. 25 variable rate management input, and then 41% information gathering technologies. Now these were just, they could have done this in a bundle. They could have more, as Christian talked about a second ago, there could have been, they could have adopted two or three of these, but these are just the people that indicated that they had used one of these. So for the information gathering technologies, these were the technologies that we listed in the survey. Grid soil sampling was the most used. Just to give a little more information. This was a question, and from this question, we had 740 people respond to it. So from the 740 responses, the most used information gathering technology was 403, and that was for grid soil sampling. After that, yield monitors with GPS. But I think what's important to see here is that if you look at the average number of acres per farm, even for the smallest average number of acres, it was for each one of these technologies, it was 1,154 acres. Now, looking at the 2007 census data, people that are using these technologies have, on average, pretty big farms, larger farms than the census shows. So these are pretty big farms that are adopting and using these technologies. For variable rate input management, these are the inputs we listed. The farmers could indicate it if they'd used in the past. 424 individuals told us that they had used variable rate input management before. Lime was the number one input that had been applied, variable rate, followed by potassium and phosphorus. Nitrogen was after that. So a lot of the fertility nutrient inputs were the inputs that were used the most. Again, looking at the average number of acres per farm, these are fairly large farms. These are fairly large compared to the 2007 census data. And again, I mentioned this earlier, but more information by states are available on the posters, and then also too in the preceding papers, there ought to be some more information on those. But this is just for all the region, for the 14 states. Map-based technology was the number one, was primarily the technology used to make these input decisions. It was used more than the sensor-based technology. Now, we asked producers that had adopted, what were the reasons? And we gave them a few options: profit, environmental benefits, and then, as Krishna talked about, being on the forefront of technology adoption. We asked them to rank these, to rank them in importance, and it was on a scale of 1 to 5. And so you saw that profits was the number one reason. They saw that as the most important reason for adopting precision farming, followed by environmental benefits, and then being on the forefront of technology. But people see, producers, respondents indicated to us that what's driving their reason for adopting this is they think that these things are profitable. They perceive these technologies to be profitable, increase their profitability, and that's the most important reason for them choosing to use them. Now, barriers to adoption. The number one barrier to adoption, one in a landslide, was too expensive. That's for adopters and non-adopters both. They perceive these technologies to be too expensive. Now, interestingly, if you look, not profitable wasn't really a big factor, big barrier to adopting these technologies. So they perceived them to be profitable, but they also perceived them to be expensive. And another interesting thing to me, something that's very interesting, is the benefits are uncertain. That was the second reason for non-adopters and adopters for not adopting these, barriers to adopting these technologies. We've talked about this before as our group, but we gather all this information. We have all this information about our field. Compiling that information and using that information to make an input decision, that's not an easy task, even for people with a lot of degrees and a lot of education. That's not an easy task to come up with. And so I think that there is still a lot of question out there on what are the benefits from these technologies. How do we quantify these? How does a producer quantify these? And so that I think, to me, was interesting, which hopefully some research can address some of these questions later on down the road. Moving forward, there's several research questions that we're going to try to address using this data set. Krishna kind of mentioned one. Another thing that we're interested in is looking at environmental benefits. Also looking at lint quality, how precision farming affects lint quality. And hopefully these findings will help produce decision aids for producers to make a wise decision on adoption, which one of these technologies fit their field the best. And then also to help extension folks in education of precision farming. So that's our hope for these research. And with that, I'll take any questions.